king himself probably doesn't have such milk like this. Or maybe this is the king's milk. Where'd you get it? From the king's cows or something? For the king? And the servant said, no, I just got it from a cow that was in a yard in a little house on the end outside of town. It's owned by this Jewish man. Ooh, the poet said, this is wonderful milk. And the poets enjoyed the milk. And the next morning, Kinelach, after the poets had his cereal and his toast or whatever he has for breakfast and his eggies and his cottage cheese or whatever the poets ate, he said, time for the milk. And the servant says, well, I'll go look out at the cows to see if they're healthy again. And the servants and the poets, and the poet says, don't bother with my cows. Forget about it. Go straight to that Jewish man who owns the cow that you got the milk yesterday and get me milk from him. I don't want to even taste milk from my own cows anymore. His milk was better. And the servant Kinelach, the second day, gets milk from the yid. And again, he was so happy to sell the milk to the servant. And the servant served the milk to the poets. And the poets got even a bigger smile on his face. He says, oh, it's so wonderful. The best milk I've ever had. And he drinks some more milk. And he gets up and he starts dancing and jumping, dancing around with the milk. Oh, it's so good. I love milk. And of all the milk I've ever had, this is the best. This is the best milk I ever had. Oh, it's so delicious. And the poet said, well, I tell you what. This is the best milk I ever had. And I don't plan to go on drinking the milk from my own cows, because my cows, even when they're healthy and they're not sick, they don't make milk anywhere as good as this delicious milk. So therefore, tomorrow morning when it's time for my milk again, I want you to go to that Jew and get milk again from him. But as a matter of fact, I have a better idea. Oh, I'm so smart. Oh, this milk must be making me smart. As delicious it is, it's also making me smart. Tell that Jew that I will pay him extra money if he will come to my castle every day with his cow. Then it will be so fresh, the cow will come straight to my castle with that Jew. I'll pay him. And he will give me fresh milk, deliver it to my castle, fresh every morning. Or if he doesn't want to bring his cow, he will milk the cow before he comes and bring me the milk. But this is the main thing. He should not sell milk to any other person, only to me. And I'll get all the milk from that cow. And so, if I have so much milk from that cow, I'll drink delicious milk, and I'll make cheese. How many boys know that cheese is made from milk? And I'll make delicious butter, and I'll make ice cream, and, well, of course, I won't make it. I'm too important, and I'm too busy to make all this stuff. I'll ask my wife or the cook to make all this stuff for me, cottage cheese and hard cheese and sour cream and ice cream. Woo! I'll have all the milk. I'll have all the milk stuff I want. But the Jews should not sell anybody else milk, only to me. And I'll pay him extra money, more money than if he sold milk the whole day to whoever came to buy the milk. And Kinelach. And the poet said, but wait, if he needs milk for his family, after all, it's no fair if I take all the milk, so I'll allow him to take milk for his family, but the cow makes a lot of milk, I get all the rest of the milk. All right. The servant goes in the afternoon to the house of the yid, and he tells him, the poets love the milk from your cow. It was so delicious. And the poets wants to make you a good deal. You will get paid every day for delivering milk to the poet's castle in the morning. Plus, all the milk that you don't need for your family, all the milk from that cow that's going to be extra, because after all, you know, we see you're a poor man and you only have that one cow, and I'm sure your children and yourself and your wife need milk, but all the other milk, don't sell to anybody else. Don't go to the town to sell it. Just all the milk should be delivered to the parents. And if you can't carry all the milk in bottles, well, just bring your cow up the hill to the castle. And he had said, okay, that sounds good. And Kinalach, every day, in the morning, the Yid was told about what time the poet is ready to have his breakfast, and he sits at the table with his bib and his big, nice, empty glass. He had a special glass for his milk. And the Yid came on time each day. Of course, he woke up early in the morning and davened and learned Torah and did the things that he does as a Yid. But this is his job. He delivers milk to the castle of the poets. And he was never late. He was on time every day. And the poets were so happy to get that milk, and he loved it. Now, Kinalach, when the Yid would come with the milk, the poets were so happy, he would invite the Jew into his house to sit down, and as he's drinking the milk, he would sometimes talk to the Yid, of course not at the same time that he's drinking the milk, because he can't drink and talk at the same time, but if the Yid is there, he would speak to him. And he saw that this Yid is not only a very nice man, but he's a very smart man. The Yid was very smart. Do you know what made the Yid very smart? What do you think made the Yid smart? Just drinking the milk from the cow? Or maybe something else?
Torah and mitzvahs.
Torah and mitzvahs makes a person smart. Drinking milk of the Chol of Yisrael is also very good for you. For your neshama and for your seichel, for your brain and your smartness, learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. Kinalach, each day the Yid comes to the poet's castle with the milk. Either he brings the milk in the bottle, or he comes with his cow. And the poet is so happy with the milk and all the delicious things that are made from the milk. But not only that, as the poet would sit at the table eating his breakfast and drinking his milk, he would invite the Jew to sit down with him, because he saw that the Yid, first of all, was a very nice man who came on time. He was reliable, and he was supposed to come, let's say, at 8 o'clock in the morning. Each day he came on time. He wasn't late. The poet sees that this Yid is reliable. He comes on time. The poets like that very much. And he had explained that the Torah says that Seder, to have a time for everything, to be organized, to be reliable, if you say you're going to do something, you do it. This is all things that the Torah says. And the poet said, oh, that's very good. I like that. I don't like when I ask my servant to come at 8 o'clock and he shows up at 9. Or he comes staggering in at 9:30. After a night of drinking. And the Yid came every day. And the poets liked that. And sometimes the poets would ask the Yid questions, because the Yid learned Torah. And the poets thought he was very smart. And the poets liked the questions that the Yid would give him. And then he would ask him to do certain things. Because sometimes he would say to the servant, I would like now a nice apple. I'm hungry for an apple. And I asked you yesterday to go to the town and buy apples for me. So please give me an apple. And the servant would say, I forgot to buy the apples. What? I asked you to buy the apples, you forgot? Or he would say, I would like an orange. Could I please have an orange? Oh yeah, I'll get an orange. And the servant is still a little bit shicker from last night, a little bit drunk. And he goes and he brings now an onion instead of an orange. And the poet is also a little bit drunk from the night before. And he thinks that that onion is an orange, and he peels it. Well, I guess he couldn't tell the difference between an orange peel and an onion peel, and then he starts to eat it. Oh, this is not an orange. This is an onion. Well, the Yid would say, let's get this straightened out over here. And he would go and get the orange, and he would see straight instead of seeing onions instead of oranges. And sometimes the poets would have to put money in the bank. Well, strangely enough, once in a while, when he would send money to the bank, he might send, let's say, 100 rubles in a bag, but the bank would only get 90 rubles. 10 rubles would mysteriously disappear somewhere. And when the poets would find out, who took that money to the bank? I didn't. Maybe somebody else did. Didn't I ask you to put the money in the bank? No, but I asked somebody else because I was not feeling well, so he took the money to the bank. So where? Didn't you take the money to the bank? I took it last week to the bank. Well, who took my money to the bank? Where's that 10 rubles? Where did it disappear? And maybe it fell off the horse or something. But didn't you walk to the bank? I forgot. Well, Kenalach, I mean, the poets, you know, he doesn't go by himself to do all these things. He would ask the Yid on the way back home to stop in the town and go to the bank. And all the money he gave the Yid would go into the bank. He trusted the Yid. And he trusted him with other things. And slowly and surely, he gave the Yid more and more things to do and jobs. And once in a while, the poets would go away on a trip. Now, goes away on a trip, certain expensive things, he doesn't want to leave in the castle, because he's afraid his servants might take it, and he doesn't want to take it on the trip, so he asks the Yid to watch it for him, because he knows that if the Yid watches it, he'll get it back. Kinalach, the Yid became like a big helper, like a big worker for the poets. Besides milk, he had many other things that he did. Until one day, the poet says to the Yid, after drinking his delicious milk, he says, my wife and I, as you know, we have no children. My wife and I decided that the years are, you know, passing by, we're getting older. We would like to go out and see the world and go on a long trip, like a long vacation. Not just for a few days or even a few weeks. We will probably be away for a few months or maybe even a year. Now, we cannot just leave our castle to the servants and the different kinds of officers. As you know, I don't trust them. But my wife and I talked it over. But we would like to have you take care of the castle for us and all the different businesses and the lands and the forests and the lakes and the rivers that we own and the different property, the different houses. And you'll be in charge of the money going to the bank and seeing that everything is done. Of course, we'll pay you very well. And we will trust you to take care of all of our things and all of our property. And Kenalach, the Yid, of course, said yes. First of all, he had a very good job now, not just being a milkman, but being paid for doing all kinds of stuff, and it was good for his family. And second of all, he was very happy that the poets trusted him, and he did the job well. And so the poets and his wife, they packed their suitcases, they went away on a long trip, and once in a while, the Yid got a letter from the poets telling him different things to do and different business things. And the poets, and the Yid would send the poets back letters wherever he was, different addresses. And everything went fine because everybody respected the Yid. He was good to everybody. Until one day, a special fat letter came to the castle and the name on it was for the Yid. And this just wasn't a regular letter. This is a fat letter with special kinds of stamps on it and special markings. And it was even delivered by a special mailman. A special way of mail. And the Yid opened up the big fat letter. And in it was an official kind of letter that comes from a judge in a court. And there was a letter attached to it. And this is what it said. Dear Yid, my wife and I have been traveling around different places in the world, and we found a certain place that we decided we would like to live here for the rest of our lives and not return back to the castle. As you know, we have no children, we have no family to take over the castle and all of the properties and things. And we have plenty of money here with us that we took to live the rest of our lives. And we don't need any more than we already have. We're living very nicely where we are in this beautiful place that we found. And we know that you have a large family with children, and you've been very good and responsible, and you have taken care of everything in a fair way, in an honest way. So my wife and I talked it over, and we are sending you the papers that make you the new owner of the castle and all of the properties and all the fields, all of the houses and buildings, the lakes and the rivers. You will be now the new Poretz. And the Yid now, Kenelach, received all the official papers. Official means, that doesn't mean there was a fish with the papers. There was no fish with the papers. There were special papers that make him to be the real owner of everything, and it's his. He owns it, and the Poretz doesn't own it anymore. Kenelach, this Yid, became, of course, a very big millionaire, and he owns thousands and thousands of acres of land and fields and houses, and now people paid him the money and the rent. And he gave jobs to the people, and he was very good, and everybody loved him. Jews loved him, and non-Jews loved him. Now, many years later, Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis was traveling around doing the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuim. He was collecting money to get Jews out of jail. And he needed a lot of money, and he had collected a lot of money, but he needs 300 more rubles. And now he comes to the town of the Jewish Poretz. Of course, Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis had not known what happened all these years to the Yid. And he comes to the town, and he goes to the house of the Rav, and he's going to ask the Rav to please give him the addresses of Jews who could help give money for the Pidyon Shvuim. And it was a regular day, and all of a sudden now, the Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis goes to the house of the Rav. He goes into the Rav's room where the Rav is learning, and he sees the Rav is dressed up in Shabbos clothes, or Yontif clothes. And he asks the Rav, first of all, he said who he is, he explained who he was and why he was there. And he said to the Rav, by the way, is there a special thing today that you dressed up in Shabbos clothes? And the Rav said, oh yes, the parts of the town is coming to a meeting in shul with different people in the town that we should have a certain talk about certain things. And I'm so excited the Poretz is coming, I dressed up in Shabbos clothes. And also the other people coming to the meeting are also getting dressed up in Shabbos clothes. Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis says, what? A Poretz comes and you get dressed up in Shabbos clothes? Of course he thought it was the other kind of Poretzes from the other kind of stories. And the Rav says, you don't understand, our Poretz is a Yid and he's a tzaddik and a baal tzedakah and a wonderful person, and he helps everybody. That's why we're so excited. It's like a yontif every time he comes to make a meeting with us, because it's only good things that we have in this town with our Poretz. And the Rav says, you'll come to the meeting too, and for sure mention to the Poretz the 300 rubles, and I'm sure that he will help you out. And Kenelach went to the meeting. Sure enough, All the people at the meeting were dressed up, and they were happy like a simcha, like a yontiv, and they had l'chaim on the table, and they had mezonos and a few pickles and things like that, and herring. And finally, the beautiful wagon pulls up in front of the shul, and the paretz, the yid, comes down from the wagon, and he comes into the shul, and immediately he gives a big smile to Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, what brings you here? And Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis feels as if this man knows him, like it's a friend. And Reb Zev Wolf did not recognize who this was. The poet says, what brings you to our town? Well, I'm a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov sent me to collect money to get Jews out of jail. And I've been around different places collecting money, but I'm still missing 300 rubles. The poet says, I'll be glad to give you 300 rubles. And he reaches into his pocket. Right away he pulls out 300 rubles. And Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis says, oh my, I didn't know that you don't have to give me the whole thing. I mean, that's so much money. The poet says, I'm glad to give it to you. And don't you recognize me? Don't you recognize me? Don't you know who I am? Right away I recognized you. And Zev Wolf says, well, as a matter of fact, I feel like you're a good friend of mine, like we've known each other, but I don't recognize who you are. And the poet says, you remember many years ago, you came to my house with the Baal Shem Tov? And Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis says, I really don't remember going to any poet's castle that the poet was a yid, so I don't think I was ever in your house. And the poet says, I don't mean the castle I'm living in now. A long time ago in that time, I didn't live in a castle. I lived in a little, dumpy, falling apart house on the other side of the forest in a little town. And you and the Baal Shem Tov came to my house collecting stucke. And the Baal Shem Tov asked me for 18 rubles. And I went and I sold my cow and some blankets and gave him the 18 rubles. Do you remember that? And Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis says, oh yes, I remember. I felt so bad for that yid because it was so much money for a poor man. And the yid says, the poet says, you should know that was me. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because since I gave that money away, a lot of good things happened. So, I'm very, very happy to be able to give you today the 300 rubles. And thank you for coming to my house many years ago. Kinalach, Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis. Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis traveled back to the Baal Shem Tov, and he told this whole story to the Baal Shem Tov. And the Baal Shem Tov smiled, and he says, there's one part of that story that's missing, and I'm going to tell you the very last part of the story that's really from the first part of the story. Shh. You were probably wondering why I made that yid give so much money if he was a poor man. Now listen to this, Kinalach, because this is a very interesting thing to learn from this story. The Baal Shem Tov says to Reb Zev Wolf, many years ago we were walking on the way and we passed by that house. I saw, as we passed by the house, that whoever lives in this house is going to get from Hashem a tremendous bracha of millions and millions of dollars, millions and millions of rubles. He is going to be a very rich millionaire. But the only way he will be able to get that bracha is not by staying where he is. He has to move away. Because if he stays there, in that place, the bracha will not come. The bracha is only going to be in a different place. So I knew that if I wanted to help that yid get that bracha, I had to do something to make him move away. So I went together with you, asked him for the 18 rubles. He gave it to me. He was not able to pay his rent. He was forced to move away. You know where he moved to? The place that the bracha was waiting for him. And because he went to the other place, he was able to receive the bracha from Hashem that was only in that place, and that was Kinalach, why the Baal Shem Tov did it. So it's a very interesting thing you learn out from the story about brachas and where you are. Sometimes you have to go even a different place, and over there Hashem leads your steps for a good reason. And sometimes it looks in the beginning like it's a very bad thing, chas v'shalom, but we see everything from Hashem is good, and everything is hashkacha pratis, and everything works out. You just have to be sometimes patient. Now let's say a person sees things are going on, he can't figure out why. He thought things would be this way, they turn out that way. He thought this would finish, it didn't finish. He thought everything would be okay, it's not okay. And he says, when will this end? When will everything turn out the way I want it to? And it's not. Well, one person gets very upset and say, wait, I'm upset. How come things are happening like this? What is Hashem doing? Why isn't it the way I want it? And another person could say, you know what? Maybe I myself and I'm inside of a good story. In other words, maybe what's happening to me is a good story now. It's going on. It didn't finish yet. One thing is happening after the other. I don't know the way it's going to come out. But wait a minute. Maybe things don't go the way I figure them out. Maybe they go the way Hashem wants them to go, and I can't figure it out. So I'm inside of a long story that's happening to me. And the long story that's happening to me is going to have a good ending. Should it bother you? Don't figure it out yet? No. Who would like to be inside of a good story? Not they're listening to Rabbi Burstyn say a good story about Chaim Yankel. But they're inside of a good story that's happening to them, that's also going to have a good ending and be very nice. Okay? Everybody could be inside of a good story. You have to be patient. You have to realize what's happening to you is a good story. You're in a good story?